We used to sing that song, "It's joy unspeakable and full of glory." That was the feeling down upon this earth as we were young people praising God in my young days as a Christian. We get so happy in that song, singing. And I remember the trumpet player, Roy Howard, and all those that was in the young people together with us. It was a great time. I was in that group where there was about 40 instruments playing. And we used to sing to the glory of God. And I never forget, there was an Indian woman in my early days Christian time. Her name was Sister Brown, and her husband was 80 years old. He danced till the glory of God came down. I went all through those days, the early days of the glorious power of God in her meetings. And there was something like about 100 young people all going together praising God, a very moral group, because we'd all found Jesus. And I remember when I got saved, I looked up into heaven as a young boy, and I saw the glory world. So heaven is a heaven of joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. You do not know what joy is until you've been to heaven and see the joy and glory in heaven. If you can imagine what of the great spectacular, I saw some of the most fantastic moving pictures in my life. I remember the Exodus and all of those going back as I sat and saw those pictures as they were done of people moving, you know, in the flesh, in the spirit as it were, moving because they had joy of something happened. But in heaven, it's a different joy altogether. I would like you to try to realize, if you could, the greatness of heaven and the joy of heaven. When the joy begins, the joy of the Spirit, and the joy of the strength, and the joy of the glory of God. I want you to try to think in your mind of 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of angels, all full of joy before the throne of God. And then I want you to think of the martyrs underneath the altar, after they'd prayed to come down and join in the joy in the glory, the joy in the praise of God. And then with that, the archangels, the army of God, and all the different ones, Wigglesworth, Gypsy Smith, Dr. Ham, and all these men who had gone on before living in the mansions, partaking in the joy of heaven, the joy unspeakable. You cannot in no way imagine in your own heart the joy of heaven. And all the little children there that was aborted, and those that were died before the age of 7 years old, growing up to that age of Jesus, all partaking in the joy of heaven, the joy unspeakable. And all of heaven gathered millions of beings. But that's not all. I remember one time in a meeting, we were in a meeting and having a great meeting, and there was a chicken come into that meeting. It was something. That chicken came into the meeting, began to go up and down before the platform, and got right joined in all the music. And that chicken was used of God because he flew around the tent and jumped on the top of a black-headed woman, caused her to get saved. But that was the joys of been participating in this world. The joys, joy unspeakable and full of glory. I remember coming out of the mission field one time and had been all tore up in the mission field, and there was the missionary on the river's banks waiting. She was joyous because we'd made it in. But that's so little according to what the joys of heaven is. When you think of all the beautiful buildings as they are in heaven, and all the music starting up at one time. City Four Square full of music. All music all over the place. Trumpets everywhere. Hundreds and hundreds of trumpets. Great big organs all playing. Big pianos all playing. And also tremendous amount of guitars, violins, and all that thing. You know, people didn't realize there was violins in heaven, but there is. Then all of the harps, all there. Thousands of them. I mean thousands of them. All around the throne and all around heaven, and giving God all the glory and all the praise. The joy is so precious. And when we sing the song, I was up there singing the song, which we in advance, the song of the redeemed, as we were redeemed from the demon powers of the devil, and watched how inside of heaven, how the glory of God took place. And then something happened, something you could realize, smoke came up. Smoke came up from out on the golden altar. The smoke came up, it was interest, incense coming up before the throne of God, and there was God watching us. We couldn't see his face, but he was there on his throne listening, and his head was nodding up and down as we were giving him the praise and giving the glory and giving him all the glory. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then the little children going before the throne come skipping out, skipping out of their 1,000 square miles of their air, 10,000 square miles of their place where they're in getting happy. They have all kinds of trees in there and everything. And right in the middle of that joy, here come those children, come skipping out. Skipping just like you skip Mayday. Skipping out from the behind there, skipping before God, going all up and down, praising God and skipping up and down before the Lord, praising God. Now, this is heaven. This is the joy in heaven. Just started. And then the animals, all coming in the parade before God to give God all the praise and all the glory. If you could just realize what you're going to have when you go to heaven, you'd never want to do anything and to stay on this world anymore. But what was the most wonderful part of the joy? All the fowls of the air, just like I said last time, like the doves, thousands and thousands of doves flying through the air, and all kinds of feathered feathered beings, and then the lions, and all of those, all in unison, praising God before the throne of God, a united praising of God. Such a miraculous reality. And as I was mixing it myself, right in amongst it, and just in my soul was so happy. My soul was so happy that I couldn't help but just want to stay in it and in that atmosphere forever and ever. And speaks in the Bible about the soul being joyous, about the heart. Now, my soul heart, I could feel my heart ticking in my soul. And as that heart was ticking at the expectation of what was going to happen, because we all knew something was going to happen. We all knew that something was going to happen. You could feel the first day of the joy of the Lord, of the worship of the Lord, all around everywhere. And then there was all of the beings, like the cherubims and the seraphim, all partaking. And this is one time the slain lamb gets up and turns to praise God. Everything in heaven praising God. And we all felt that something was going to happen. Oh, my. We had that feeling in the heart, and it did happen. What happened was this. That great rainbow that goes over the sound of God began to circle the whole heaven. It was just like a circling rainbow came down, and those beautiful lights of God's glory coming down on everybody. No one could even explain such a thing as that unless they'd seen it and been there so glorious. And then looking up to the top of heaven, all the heavenly sky was lit up by the glory of God. God is a consuming fire, and then that fire become to come forth. You know, fire, God's a consuming fire, and the fire was going through all of us, the fire of heaven, the fire and the power of God, as we was enjoying the glorious, wonderful feeling that we're praising God. You couldn't think of anything more spectacular and something more real. And then as it did, then Jesus himself came forward. Jesus came forward and stood before his Father. And there he was, getting a blessing from his Father. Can you imagine Jesus getting a blessing from his Father? We all watched Jesus get the blessing because he had fulfilled the bill. He'd come to this earth and stood the test of not being able to be tempted by the devil. He'd conquered sin, conquered everything. And there he stood before his Father with his arms open wide, accepting the blessing from his Father. You don't realize what's going to take place in heaven until you really get down and read the Bible. When you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find out that there is a promise of eternal life. All through in the time of the Old Testament, when the children of Israel was always looking forward to something supernatural, something different this earth. This earth walk was so that men walking on this earth wondering there's going to be eternal life and joy and happiness. And we were having it in heaven. Then as the lights came on through all the buildings lit up so beautiful like fire. The city four square lit up by fire. The temple lit up by fire. And it was just a spectacular of the reality of the glory of God all before us as we were there. And it was so beautiful, so wonderful. So then it came a time that we all sat down, everyone has sat down to receive God's blessing. All sat down. Now, God spoke out of heaven to the men of God of old. Voices came, and Abraham heard the voice of God. And also the men of God all through the Old Testament said, God spoke from out of his heaven. And then God spoke. Oh, my. And then God began to speak. God began to speak to all of heaven. And he gave us one of the most wonderful blessings you could imagine. He began to talk to us. God the Father began to talk to us about eternal life. How that heaven was there forever and ever, the new heaven, and it would never be destroyed, or it would never, ever, ever be Satan again to destroy his kingdom. God spoke for at least a half an hour to us. At least, maybe, you couldn't tell exact time, but he was talking to us, explaining what eternal life was, explaining. He spoke to us and all about the things that happened. He explained to us how he had spoke to Job. He explained to us how he spoke to all these men of God of old. And he said to us, welcome into his heaven, welcome there, for the joy of his glory shall be forever and ever. Oh, could you understand such a blessing? Now, these men that have gone on, there was Raymond T. Ritchie. I remember Raymond down in Houston, Texas. Raymond was quite a man. He had a big tabernacle there. And he preached all over. And there, now, just listen to what I'm going to say. Here was all of these men, Raymond T. Ritchie. There was Paul Rader. There was all of these different ones there that had gone on. There was Dr. Wyatt, all but talked against it. It was my pastor back home. And all of them, as I could look around, I could see them all listening to God's voice. Oh, it was so wonderful. As we was all there, the many thousands, I could recognize so many. I could recognize some of the pastors that I knew upon this earth. I could recognize some of the people. I could recognize some of the evangelists. I remember one of the evangelists that won so many souls. There he was with the midst, all looking towards God, all receiving the joy and the blessing of God. So wonderful. And then there was a lady back there that was quite an evangelist. She was a little Swedish girl. She went to be with Jesus, young. There she was, right there with the rest, receiving the blessing, the joy of God, with her hands raised. Everybody raised their hands. Now, the Bible says to lift up holy hands. Everybody lifted their hands up toward the throne of God as they looked. But I couldn't help, as God let me see, all these different ones that had made it in, as they had made it in. And I remember there was an evangelist back in those days that was a great evangelist. Praise God, he was there. I remember Isaac J. Bolton. Now, Isaac J. Bolton was a man in Florida. He was called the Steamboat Evangelist. And Dolly, his wife was Dolly. And he used to talk, and he'd say, hello, Dolly. And he was a great preacher. He was Assembly of God brother. But he was one of the earliest establishers of the church in Florida. Isaac J. Bolton was a great man of God. And then there was also Brother Curry. They called him the Battle Axe Preacher. Brother Curry, the backlash preacher, who had built some churches in Florida, and his son, Morris, building, and faithful men of God. There he was. Oh, praise God. There was Battleaxe Curry right there. Looked over, and he looked over to me, and he said, hello, Percy. And everybody was just not talking. Then you begin to walk around just exactly as you would in a meeting. We were having a love feast, walking around together all over God's heaven with a love feast. And as we come up to different ones, I came up to Amy McPherson. There she was walking with the rest of them. There was also all the different ones. I remember another man who was Johnny McConnell. Now, Johnny McConnell was a preacher. He was the man that preached when I praised God, when I had received salvation. And it was in his tent where I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where I was filled with the Spirit. Quite a big tent, and it was sawdust on the ground. I came in the morning, and another one told me, he said, you should get back in there and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Johnny McConnell was preaching, and I remember, praise God, his message. He that is not with me is against me. Who is on the Lord's side? I can remember that message, and there was Johnny up there. He'd saved, oh, he was a great soul winner. And then I remember Brother Myers. Now, Brother Myers was a great man of God. There he was there. And it was so wonderful to see all of those there that I knew upon this earth, there before God, partaking in the love feast. And we walked, there we was walking among one another, just walking, just we do in a great many upon this earth, a great meeting. And then there was a woman in a wheelchair, I remember real well, in the state of Missouri. She was brought in a wheelchair in there, and she passed on. There she was, no more wheelchair. No, there she was, standing with the rest of them. She couldn't walk on this earth, but she had gained her healing in her soul, and there she was with the rest of them, just praising God. And then also, there was a man there that had got converted. His name was George Byrd, state of Virginia. George Byrd had a very much prejudice in his heart about black people. But George was in the meetings I was in, conducting there in Newark, New Jersey. And he came into the meeting. He was a regular Southern Virginia man, tall Virginia man. My wife would remember him well. And he received the bag of the Holy Ghost. And then And he said, what'll I do? I said, go and kiss that black man. And he walked over and kissed that black man and got happy and everything. There he was. And then there was also Bishop Mason. Now, Bishop Mason was the leader of the Church of God in Christ. He was with the rest of them, kind of a little fella. But there he was, right there, praising God with the rest of us. How great is our God and how great is his name. Then there was also Billy Black. Now, Billy Black was a man that played the piano there in Amy McPherson, traveled all over. Billy was there. Right there, Billy Black was there. Praise God. Great piano player, organist, and all that. There he was with the rest of us, just praising God to the glory of God. You don't realize how glorious and how precious heaven is. And then there was also the many, many that had given their life for the gospel. All out from under the altar, all together, praising God. I remember Brother Benham. Now, Brother Benham was my first pastor. Brother Benham taught me many things. He taught me about a good, solid man. Benham, not Branham, Benham is his name. His widow's still alive on this earth. When I was in Gettysburg, his widow was there. Well, Brother Benham was a wonderful Bible teacher. He could teach so good. And all at once he showed up and he put his hand on my shoulder. He looked around, put my hand on my shoulder. It was his soul. And I looked around and he says, Percy. I said, Brother Benham, praise God. Well, you can't realize that it was so exciting and so joyful and so happy to know I was going to meet all those loved ones. Now, my grandmother was a woman who prayed in 1843. She was born, and her prayer book was miraculous. She was a woman that gave and sowed for the poor. She was such a precious woman. How wonderful she did her work upon this earth. She was a mother in Israel. There she was. I remember how she made me those tarts when I was a young boy. And there she come, and there was my grandmother there. Both of my grandmothers there in the joy of the Lord in heaven, glorifying and praising God. And then a wonderful reality was my own father. My own father was a solid man. He would read the Bible to us all the time. He was a believer from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. He was a believer. He believed so real in the glory of God. When the neighbor next door shot himself, there was a man, the name of Tom Hedges, who was wicked. He shot himself because he was in trouble. And my father went over and laid the body out and put it all up. He would do anything like that. He was not afraid of anything like that kind of thing. And he was always there to comfort people in death. My father would always be there. And I remember one of my mates as a boy. He was a young man, and he we'd go together. And I went away and come back. And he had the flu, and he died of the flu. And I was called to be a pallbearer at his funeral. That young boy, 8 of us, walking beside the casket there. And I remember the preacher saying, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, as he was put down into the earth, into the ground. And you know, there, and everybody said, what a pity, what a pity. A boy like that should go so early. But you know what? He was in heaven. He came up to me, and he put his hands on me. He says, you know who I am? I said, of course I know who you am. Praise God. We got together and began to talk over some of the things we'd done on this earth. This is heaven. Then, praise the Lord, many others. My uncle was a precious, Uncle Willie, he was a precious man of God who loved God. He was really a born-again Holy Ghost Christian. And my Uncle Willie came and he said, Percy, isn't it wonderful to be in heaven? One after the other come to me and begin to talk to me. And then my grandfather Cox. Now my grandfather Cox, he had a long beard, and he was a wonderful preacher. He preached for years and pastored the same church for years, and he was a tall man. He used to preach in the marketplace every Wednesday. He'd get out and preach the gospel in the marketplace. When the farmers would have their money and they didn't want to spend it at the saloon, they'd give it to my grandfather to take care of, and he'd take it back to the village where he'd take care, control their money. But he preached the gospel every Wednesday in the marketplace for a year. Tall man. He come walking along, so stately his soul came walking along, just exactly as he did upon the earth. And he put his arms around me, joyous. And actually, it was so spectacular and so great, you can't realize. But then I saw some officials. And I wondered who was going to be their officials. Some of the American officials. We had an ambassador to France. He was there. Men, God is no respecter of persons. Those who have lived the life upon this earth, accept Jesus, wonderful Savior, filled with the Spirit. Now, a lot of people have a different idea of what is the Spirit. Well, the Spirit is God coming in you, the hope of glory. The Spirit of God coming in you, and you speak in tongues. And some of it, now there's a little Jew. I remember that little Jew in Chicago. He wanted to get saved. He was just a little fella. He wanted to get saved. And he went all over the place looking for religion. Finding his own room, he got saved. There was that little Jew there. Then another Jew in Jacksonville, Florida, there who got saved. He went all over the country preaching the gospel. I remember him in Missoula, Montana. In Missoula, Montana, there was a woman came to the meeting, great big heavy set woman, and he was holding a revival filled with the Holy Ghost in Missoula, Montana. And he was kind. Everybody said, well, he's funny. And he was funny. And I remember this woman there, she got up, she said, well, I'm so holy, I couldn't commit a sin. And never forget that. That little Jew took a hat pin, stuck it in her back a little bit. She jumped up and almost cursed. But he said, get down on your knees, woman, get right with God. And that little Jew was there, but so was the woman. Through that action he did, he had caused her to turn toward God and get all that foolishness out of her that she believed. She was more holy than anybody. And she got on her knees, and there she was, quite a big, just a soul, big soul she was. And there was a little Jew and her together, just talking. They said, oh, she said, there's that man who was in Missoula in our church many years ago. Said, that's Percy, he said. And there I had fellowship with them. One after the other, I had fellowship. Now there was men in Washington, the different organizations, the different places, and the different parts of the world, and different churches. How God moved. All there, I could recognize them by the hundreds there, as I knew them. We're known as we're known. We shall be known as we're known. Now, in San Francisco years ago, there was a Salvation Army citadel there that had a wonderful crowd. And the leader of that citadel was a Holy Ghost man. He kind of got in trouble with the Salvation Army for speaking in tongues. But he was there. How wonderful he was there. He was right there. Then, in the different places I traveled, I got on the train one time in those years ago. And as I got on, I preached the gospel on the train and had several souls on a train. And this man walked up to me. He said, you was preaching on that train and I got saved. You see how it happens? Save souls and get them ready for God. Many of the meetings I've been in saving souls. I remember one place in Kentucky. We were having there a meeting and I said, 75 women are going to come forward and get saved tonight. Made a statement clear and bold that 75 women would leave their seats in that great meeting and come and get saved. And I said, now you women come and get saved. And just exactly as God had me say it, 75 women came to the altar and got saved. And I don't know how many of them, I couldn't remember, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This woman came up and tapped me. She says, Percy, I was in that 75 women that you called there in that place in that town in Kentucky there that you called to come forward. That night I was making a decision. Should I shoot myself or should I come forward? I did not shoot myself. I did not commit suicide to come forward that night, and I found Jesus as my Savior, and here I am in heaven. And, oh, it was so glad that you told me about Jesus. I'm so happy and I'm so glad. One after the other would come to me and say, I was saved in your meeting. I was saved different places. One said I was saved in Miami, Florida. It was a black woman. She come up there and stood to me and said, I was saved in your meeting in Perrine, Florida, and I'm so happy to receive the back. What it is to have souls, treasures of souls, one after the other. Then I was also in a different place, Columbus, Ohio. We had a great crowd of people. Souls were getting saved in that meeting. And so it was a homecoming of those souls that I'd won. One after the other, they come up to me, just one after the other, they came up to say, I was saved in your meeting in such a place. I was saved and I found Jesus. And we'd have a great big hug. We'd love one another because we'd made it in. In a place called in Seattle, Washington, not far from Seattle, a place called Ferndale. We had a big tent up there. God was moving a great measure. With Brother Wassell. Brother Wassell was a missionary to the Balak Papin, the Dutch East Indies. And we had a meeting together. That was the place where the chicken was. And this man was Johnny Bourne. Now Johnny Bourne was a humpback. He was humpback, and he just kind of go around the meeting. Johnny came in, his back straightened up, and he climbed the tent pole. Well, he'd gone to be with Jesus, and Johnny says, "I was in your meeting in Ferndale, Washington, and I got saved there." And he said, "If it hadn't been for the Lord's gospel being preached, I would never have made it in." And there was another man who was a backslider. He was like a bull. He was such a terrible condition he got himself in. Well, that night, when this chicken was in there, flew around the tent meeting, flew on top of this black-headed woman, she come forward, and also on the top of this backslider. And that man was so full of demons, we kneeled down to help him, and he was snorting like a bull. When he snorted like a bull, he blew sawdust around with his head. But finally, he could move, and we'd say, "Get your heart to Jesus." And boy, he'd turn around and just snort. But he finally fell down on the ground, I'll never forget it, and laid on his back, and a smile come on there, his face, and there he was, he changed. He was in heaven. See, the soul-saving business of getting soul-saved is a purpose, to get people to heaven, to get them saved, and get some one after the other. The great parade was on, the great joy of the glory of God was on, as I was walking around to see those wonderful souls that had come to Jesus and give their heart to God. Go on and on. Oh, praise God. God bless you. Now, if you'll just really and truly believe God, on the next half an hour, I'm going to give you the address where you can get these tapes and tell it to you. God bless you. But first, let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we pray for those souls out there, Lord, that's not saved. We pray, O God, you'd speak to them like they have in the many meetings. We praise God that they want to go to heaven, that you'd speak to their heart and bring the joy into their heart, they'd realize there's a heaven. They don't want any more of this earth's trouble or these things of this earth. Oh, God, speak to them. Father, just speak to them right now. Now, pray this prayer after me, will you please? Dear Jesus, I want to go to heaven. Dear Jesus, I want to get into your joy. Say it. I want to get in the joy of heaven. Please touch my heart, Jesus, and save my soul. Please take me in as your child. Please speak to me, Jesus, that I can know the joys of heaven. Please speak to my heart. And, oh, now repeat this prayer. Dear Jesus, I now give my heart to you. I now accept you as my Savior. I now, from this moment on, Jesus, I will follow you. I will not go out doing that sin anymore. I will come to your feet, Jesus, and I will accept you as my Savior. I will, oh, God, save my soul. Save me for Jesus' sake. Save me, Lord, oh, God. Please, Lord, save me and get me ready for heaven. Speak to me, my heart, oh, Jesus. Now we're going to ask God to bless you. Father God, we pray that you'd bless these ones that sit listening to this tape. We pray, oh, God, you'd speak to them and give them that joy and peace of heaven. Oh, God, that they would never again go in the paths of sin and ungodliness. Oh, God, give them such joy and such happiness that, oh, God, they'd know upon this earth already that they may tell others of the glorious realities of heaven. Father, all of those women and men that are in their deathbed, speak to them also that they might come to Jesus, know the reality and the glorious, precious, and the wonderful power of heaven. Heaven is real, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Bless you is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. The way that God wanted him to reveal himself, in a spectacular way. We're standing on, as it was, a precipice in heaven, and all the earth opened up to us. Now, several times, I had the experience of the angels, the heavenly chorus singing to us out of heaven, but it was the other way around. The earth opened up to us. What was going upon this earth? It was the earth, you could see a half the earth, just half of it, was gradually turning. And here was all of these churches, word churches, and all of them, different parts of the world, that they were winning souls. And on the top of every church was a bright star, a real bright star on the top of every church. If people, you know, the star represents the guidance of God. Three wise men coming to the birth of Jesus saw a star in the east. Those stars do have a place in God's wonderful universe and also in the salvation of souls. And it's so wonderful. What does Jesus really look like? That's been asked me. Many has asked me. So I did not read Revelation very much before I went to heaven. But I will read a portion of the first chapter of Revelation. I was in the Spirit, said John, on the Lord's Day. So he was to recognize there was a Lord's Day. And I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now the trumpet of God, when they sound in heaven, I'm telling you the noise is spectacular. And saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia and in Ephesus and go on. What I want to say is that to write and send to these churches to let them look and see what Jesus really looked like. Each one of those seven churches had a star, and the star was over that church. But they'd fallen away from the first love, some of them. They were not as happy, not as joyous as they were in the beginning. Many churches that way down this earth. And it goes on to say, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto a man. And it goes on to say what they look like. With a garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps, with a golden girdle. And he goes on to tell what he had his right hand. Then he said, goes on, and when I saw him, I fell at feet as death. And he laid his hands upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am the first that liveth and was dead, and behold, him alive evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write these things which thou seest, the things which are, and the things which shall be. The mystery of the seven stars, it goes on to say. Truly, John saw Jesus. Without a question, he saw him. As in the reality he was, the power that he was, he saw Jesus. Now, Jesus reveals himself to his people in heaven sometimes. And his hair, they've asked me, his hair is white like beautiful wool, so precious, so glorious. And his body, the body of power, and his feet, so powerful, and his body, of the body of Jesus, in the greatness of his power. He is absolutely in control of all the construction in heaven, control of what's going on. He's the one building everything. Under the instructions of his Father, he's doing these things. So then these stars that are on these churches are on these churches today in the earth. The stars. Jesus had the stars and controlled the stars. He has control them. So Jesus began to bring the stars into heaven. Hey, where were you? God asked Job when I put the stars in place. But these stars came into heaven. Jesus in control. And the top of every mansion was a star representing the one who won the souls, because they were so happy upon this earth winning souls. So the same stars that Jesus told John about, the stars are over the top of the mansions of the soul winners. Then Jesus began to reveal himself in his glory. So he began to reveal himself, what he could do, the miraculous things that Jesus could do. As I told you before, his eyes were so powerful, they would light up all inside of heaven, all over, the power of his eyes. And the authority of his hands, he could move things around. You see, there's so much metric tons of diamonds to move. Like when we're in construction here, we got shovels, we've got all kinds of trucks to move stuff, bulldozers, push things around. Not so with Jesus. Now, the building is going on. I want to tell you exactly how the building is going on. Building these mansions, so powerful and so great, putting apart. So, over in the part of heaven is lying millions and millions of tons of precious stones and bars of gold. Now, I was over in Saudi Arabia and saw some bars of gold in an Arab's home, and he was worth millions from those bars of gold. But here's heaven full of gold. So here are many, many, many beams all made of gold, all of them, flooring made of gold, and all these precious stones, you name it, diamonds, onyx, sapphires, aquamarines, emeralds, all there, stacked by the stack. So now here comes the operation of the construction of a new mansion. I saw them being constructed. It was rows and rows and rows of mansions anyway. But I went down to the end with Jesus and looked to see how the construction was taking place. Jesus would take his right hand, his Father in his power, and pick up a beam 40 feet long, a beam, but just by his directions. And then the angels would push it in place. There was no big grain needed. Nothing like that? Can you imagine? No crane or nothing like that to put that in place. And here this beam would come, pure gold beam. And they would set it in place. Now, in my Father's house, Jesus said, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to put the beam in place. I go to stud them with diamonds. I go to put the roof on. I go to put the foundation thereof. I go to build your mansion. So Jesus is in charge of construction. And the construction is taking place as all these beams and all this wonderful roof and everything being put on. But then here comes the diamonds, bushels of diamonds carried to Jesus by the angels. As he takes those diamonds and all those precious stones, he begins with his own hand, with the hand of Jesus, to put the diamonds in place, to put those in place just for you. Because mortgages on this earth are so big, but all paid for on Calvary. He takes those diamonds and takes those sapphires and takes those emeralds and puts them so beautiful in place. Jesus is doing that. His helpers are the angels. And the front of those mansions are spectacular architecture. Now, we're doing our best to make this place pretty, but it's impossible to make it as pretty as the buildings in heaven. So then he is putting, or I call it studying, and putting the all these precious stones right in the front of your mansion, around the windows, around all of the edges. Glorious studded with not just broken pieces of diamond, but pure diamonds, because God is a God of abundance. He's given Jesus everything that he wants to build the mansions for his church. He wants for the mansion of his redeemed, for the mansions of his followers. So he's putting all those diamonds in place, putting them so beautiful, and he absolutely knows how to do it. And here he is with metric tons. It takes about 10 to 12 metric tons just to build your mansion of precious stones because of the mansion of those soul winners. And all these are put in place, most glorious architecture that you ever looked at. Then going further away as he's doing more building, he's building also in 10,000 square miles of interior garden-like. He's in there building more buildings, building ones for the souls to dwell in. Each soul will have his own home, his own place where he'll be, his own place where he can live in heaven. And there'll be absolutely no shortage of anything, not a bit of shortage. I want you to realize how great heaven is and what's in store for the soul winner. Then the supply of food. That's the most miraculous reality, to see the food supply. Now, fruit is the main food in heaven. And the fruit is of all kinds of originations. There's peaches, apples, everything, all blended into one with the most wonderful flavor you could ever eat. The peaches are getting kind of tough now. I tried to eat one the other day. It was like getting hold of a piece of rubber. But these are so full of juice and so tasty and so wonderful. But my soul was taken of that part. Now, couldn't just imagine what it'll be when my body comes up from the earth to partake in this wonderful, wonderful food of heaven. And then what in the fruit of the vine? That is the juice and the fruit of the vine. You can drink that in your soul, drink it down, and the angels will drink it with them. When Abraham and Sarah was entertaining angels, they had... they ate with them. So the angels ate with us and eat the different things. No meat eaten in heaven. And all of the vegetables are fixed into like V8, but so much better than V8. So much better than that stuff as you drink of the vine, because heaven does have food. Then the production department of the food. We went over a pass, and you remember heaven is so gigantic and so great. When you figure it's 80 times larger than the earth, you can try to imagine how far it is across God's heaven on the inside, how far. So then, God creates this food, but yet it's created through growth. Flowers are growing in heaven all over the place. Roses, oh, I love roses. And heaven is just full of roses. The smell and the fragrance as you smell heavenly. You smell the celestial air of God's breath. You smell it. All heaven is so fresh and so beautiful. No foul smell in heaven. Not one bit of foul smell. The smell is so beautiful as you smell in the breath of God. As you
you smell in. But we went over past the different mansions and past where the little children go, cross in there. And here was literally, I could say, maybe a million square miles of fruit a-growing. Oh, it was so gorgeous to see that waving. No insecticides to make it grow. No. People all wonder, what's heaven like? Heaven is God's creation. God causes the rose to grow, the garlic to grow, the pea. He causes all to grow. Without his power to grow it, it would not happen. So here we are, over in the most tremendous, great big valleys after valleys after valleys, and for the production of the food which we will eat in heaven. Going over there, strawberries and all of it's blended together to make one wonderful taste. Strawberries, at least, looking like they weighed a pound. And all of these fruits of apples and all everything God got upon this earth, growing in abundance in heaven in millions of acres of heavenly land. So they have to fertilize it? No. Well, what's it underneath? Underneath looks like a pure gold underneath, but it's not gold. It's where God's put these growths of his in there to grow. And it's no crop failures, none whatsoever. We have crop failures down it, but absolutely no crop failures there. As we walked among the garden of God, as we walked among his creation, to show us what he can do and what he can do. And then as we went and saw the little lambs. Now, if you ever could imagine, not to be killed and be eaten, but to just represent God and represent. Here was many hills of lambs skipping on the top of these hills with their long tails. Here was these lambs all over the place, skipping heaven. Don't you want to go to heaven to get into part of this beautiful, glorious of heaven? Here was all this. The spectacular sights of heaven that I saw is beyond human understanding. Absolutely beyond human understanding. And then the mountains of heaven. No snow on the mountains of heaven. In heaven, mountains. Flowers growing all the side of these mountains all over the place. Every kind of a flower. Tulips, roses, primroses, you name it. They're growing in all their beauty. Daffodils, waving, all in their beauty as God's creation. As he's got this heaven fixed so beautiful, absolutely without question, no shortage of anything in heaven. Absolutely no shortage whatsoever. And then as we was going further around God's heaven, we came to the place of the harvest. The place of the harvest. Now it's harvest time upon this earth and souls are being saved. They were gathering in these fruits, the angels gathering in these fruits, and they were squashing them, just like they were squashing, to make the fruit of the vine. All kinds of vegetables being, and all kinds of fruit being squashed up by God's angels that you and I will drink when we get to heaven. You mean to say we won't drink in heaven? All you got to do is go back and see, not liquor. All you got to do is go back to Abraham and Sarah, and the antedating angel, and they ate with him. Now, they was not natural beings. They was heavenly beings. So when God's got to feed all those millions, 2 or 3 billion people, for a big feast every day, he's got plenty to give them, having all these growing fruits, and the angels producing those fruits into the fruit of the vine, producing them. Now, this is the real heaven I'm talking about. When you get there, you'll see exactly what's going on. It's not a place where you just land up there someplace and just start doing something the rest of your life and not partaking in something. You partake. And then, do you have entertainment in heaven? Of course you have entertainment in heaven. What kind of entertainment? Okay, then you all listen when all of the wonderful organs are playing. Can you imagine 10,000 angels playing organs at one time along with the organ players down here? Boy, if Liberace ever got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues and got away from that mess he's in, boy, he could have the biggest piano that ought to play in heaven. He ought to get right with God and get saved, because he's got such a future in heaven, to play the piano in heaven, because the things you play down here. Now, in the jungles of South America, there was a missionary that went there many years ago from Kentucky. This man went and stayed there until he passed away. 40 years of missionary work. He went from Kentucky down into the mission field. He was called to go. He didn't wait to go to Rio de Janeiro and get a partner over there. He was called into the jungles by God. Now, you go back in the jungles, you're going to some place, but he went in the early days when there's absolutely no facilities whatsoever. He set up his church in the jungles of South America. He was just that kind of a man. He didn't have too big an education, but he had God and he had the Bible. He set it up all alone. He married an Indian girl, and produced a family. And he had, that's what I call a real missionary. And around him was those third generation of children who couldn't speak any English. He was a real missionary and gave his life and mixed with the Indians, and he became that. But he was playing his guitar, and he had no strings. And as we got there, he had one string, ticking on that string, trying to lead in his congregation. Just one string. That's all he had on the guitar. And so he said to me, next time you come, bring me some guitar strings. So I went and got a whole boxful. Didn't know much about what kind to get. I just got a boxful of strings that would work on the Martin guitar of his. Took them back down and give them to him. And he began to play to the glory of God. His place is like an old Kentucky cabin with just a porch on it. He's growing beans and all that kind of stuff around. And then he has a tabernacle with just palmetto covering where his congregation, but he's gone to be with Jesus now, and his children's taken over. So then, but with this guitar, so then I saw somebody in the distance heaven. Here was my brother with the biggest guitar I ever saw. That guitar was three or four times as big as any guitar upon this earth. And I talked to him again. He said, I've never broken a string since I've been in heaven. Says, God's strings are perfect. Never broke them. I can play it as loud as I want. And the heaven, he said, this guitar stays in place, and it never gets out of tune. And I thought that was wonderful. Every time he'd have to tune that up, but it never gets out of tune. Nothing is out of tune in heaven. It's all in harmony. The pianos never have to be tuned. The organs never have to be fixed. Nothing has to be fixed. But the electric organ is not in heaven. That's the wonderful thing. Don't need a Hammond organ. Don't need electric. The power of God causes those organs to play. Cause them to give tune. And they sit there playing the organ. Now, I remember a woman back in my little village where I was raised. She was kind of a peculiar woman. She was a musician. Didn't have very much to say. But she'd come in and play the church organ. So faithful. So precious. She could play it. Oh, how she could play it. She'd play Abide With Me and all those beautiful songs. Played them. Sit in her place. Go back to her house. And she had an organ in heaven 10 times as big as the one she had. She was playing it. Her soul was playing that organ so big and so beautiful. God had put her in the very place where he's going to use her in heaven. So your talent upon this earth that you're using upon the earth, the talent you're using, lay up not treasures upon this earth where the moth, but there's that talent that you'll use in heaven. The music, the piano players. It's so glorious to see those piano players. Pianos, at least, some of them, I'd say, 10 times bigger than the grand piano. And there are those ladies and those men sitting those pianos, making those pianos talk for you. Because everything that you do upon this earth is going to become reality in heaven. Now, there was a Norwegian, came from Norway to be a missionary. He was also a peculiar fellow. Missionaries are peculiar, a lot of them. He didn't have any transportation, but he took his bicycle and rode that bicycle through the trails and rung his bell, come ringing through there. And he went to be with Jesus. And there he had a bicycle pedaling it, going nowhere and ringing that bell. Because that bell was music. And he was just ringing that bell in heaven, ringing it away, that bicycle bell he was ringing. That was what he thought that he did upon this earth was music. God accepts all music. God accepts all singing in heaven. Especially when you sing about God to give him the glory. So in this miraculous reality of the joys of heaven, the glories of heaven, here's all the spectacular reality of heaven. Now, I remember the harp, all those things, and the flute, and all those, the bull's horn, and all those things. But here was a woman, an actress woman. She was a black woman. She was in my meetings, and all she could bring to that church was a washboard, plain old washboard, what she washed. She could make more music on that washboard. A lot of people can make on a piano. She'd make that old washboard talk. There she was in heaven with a washboard that was full of music, full of music, and she was sitting there playing that washboard, and she was getting beautiful tunes out of it. It sounded better than some people's organs. Then I remember there was a man on the platform, one of the meetings. All the music he'd make was taking his stick and tapping up down a stick in heaven. He had a beautiful wandy stick, making it and making music with that stick. You see, God recognizes every bit of talent that you can use upon this earth, even the guitars and all of those beautiful instruments being played to the glory of God in heaven. So there's a joyous place of glory and a joyous place of reality. God uses everyone's reality, everyone's talents in heaven to use them to win souls. Now, down in South America, there was an orchestra there playing in Spanish style. Now, the Spanish music gets right into where you're living, and it's kind of what you call tearjerker singing. But it was not that way in heaven. They were playing, but it was a wonderful, wonderful, precious joy music. There's no tearjerking in heaven. None like that. I used to call those old country songs tearjerker. But there's no such thing as that kind. Everything in heaven, in the way of music, praises and glorifying God. Can you realize how beautiful heaven is? Friends, I know that you will want to maybe tell your friends how to get more of these tapes. Now, this new tape that we're making is produced under the anointing of God. We're going to go deeper in heaven as these hours go by, these 12 hours of tapes. Now, let's go back into heaven a while and see what's happening there. As Jesus was, what Jesus looked like, a flame of fire, his hair like wool, and his solid feet. Every once in a while, he takes preeminence and gives orders in the building department as he builds it. So then, the building of it, and there's one building that he's building, it's the most spectacular building, is the one for himself. He's building himself a mansion, the most glorious one you could ever look at in the midst of his church. This mansion is going to be so spectacular and so on. The mansion that Jesus is going to stay in. He's going to stay beyond the throne at the same time and stay in his mansion. And he's going to personally entertain his friends in there. Personally entertain his friends because he come to this earth. He conquered death, sin, and the devil. He conquered Satan. He conquered it all. And now it's a reality of heaven for everybody to go to. Heaven. And I'm going to tell you one thing in the next series of tapes. I'm going to tell you about something horrible. But I've got to tell you, I don't want to make your feelings bad, but God has told me that I must do this over beyond the left hand of God, over beyond God's left hand. If you could see the beautiful feathers in heaven, God's hand stretches out in great feathers. And these feathers are fastened to his hands. They spread wide, silken feathers of God's left hand. He stretches them out. It was when I came out from under the hand of God and going toward it beyond his left hand what I saw this spectacular sight. Now, in the next broadcast, we're here, or the next tape, whatever we're going to call it, we'll take you over beyond the left hand of God and see what's going on. And it's something, what we saw there, something that's in the Bible, and it was hard to believe that it was so gigantic and so big. The most gigantic reality you've ever looked at. Let's pray. Father God, these precious souls out there, listen to this heavenly tapes. We pray, O God, that you speak to them and give them joy unspeakable. They might come to you and accept you as your Savior. Father, speak to them, Jesus, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You that are in the hospital in different places, you that are in the prison, you that listening to the bound in the prison that are locked up there, God can set you free. God can set you both free of that earthly prison, and he can also set you free of your sins. To be free of all the bondage that sin has put you in. You on the death row that are going to go according to man's law. I pray, O God, that they'd see inside of heaven. Father, that they'd see inside of heaven, see the glory. If you should die before you leave that prison, I want you to know one thing. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, as you die, if you're born again, it won't be a moment you die. It'll seem like nothing until you're over in eternity, walking in heaven with Jesus. God bless you is my prayer. God bless you forever. Amen.